Happy Friday, everybody. Hello again for the second time this week. This is The Scarlet Edit, and I am your host, Nikki Corbett, and I'm coming to you with back-to-back episodes because I had to do a bonus episode after Oprah put out a podcast this week with Kristen Cabot, who was the chief people officer of Astronomer, who was infamously caught in an embrace on the Coldplay Kiss Cam last summer. Let's talk about it. So what you might not know is I launched The Scarlet Edit last July 10th. On July 16th, Coldplay played a show at Gillette Stadium in Boston. And that is where the moment that rocked the world was caught on camera. Now, I got that video sent to me no less than 10 times from friends who are my biggest supporters of this show. And they were like, do an episode about this, do an episode about this. I had only released one episode at that moment. I was also still kind of nervous because I had just shared arguably my biggest secret on a podcast that anybody can listen to at any time. And I was preparing for the follow-on episodes to be put out week after week. So at the time, as much as I did want to like capitalize on the moment and jump in as a new podcast in the relationship space / infidelity space, it just wasn't the time. But as you may know, this week, Kristen Cabot went on Oprah's podcast and she shared her side of the story. For the first time, there was an article that came out in the New York Post, but it was the first time that Kristen has actually spoken live on a podcast with someone. So naturally, a lot of people did tune in. I tuned in. I listened to it. I read the article in the New York Post and I saw a few videos by just other content creators sharing their thoughts. I think my takeaway was a little different. So when we all saw that video, we saw a couple standing, swinging along to the music, seemingly having a great time. The man was standing behind the woman. He had his arms wrapped around her. They very much look like a couple. And then Chris Martin says, and I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't know if it's exact, but he says something like, wow, they're either really shy or they're having an affair. Because once they had seen themselves on the kiss cam, she put her hands over her face and she ducked and he ducked as well. Now, since then, I've said this so many times that it was a series of events that happened in a matter of 2 seconds that had any of those things not happened, this never would have been a story. If they would have just not done anything, the camera would have kept moving. If Chris Martin would have just laughed instead of saying, oh my God, maybe they're having an affair, this might not have turned into anything. But because those two things happened back to back, they were very quickly found out and their names were plastered all over the internet for months. Now, neither of them really spoke out the next day, or at least it took a while for one of them to. So everybody just made up their own stories. I've talked about this before as far as affairs are concerned, and even as far as like anything is concerned, really. We meet somebody, we see somebody, we make up a story, we fill in the gaps. And it's not always correct what we fill in. It certainly isn't always fair. And it is so incredibly easy to judge others based on a little snippet of their lives. I mean, we see it in the creator space all the time. Think about how many times you've seen a video and you've opened up the comments section and it's just been an absolute bloodbath because people are just spewing hatred onto whoever has made that video. Now, of course, there's like some times where somebody is truly, truly in the wrong. I do think, unfortunately, we're at a place where I find it very sad. I mean, I certainly have empathy and sympathy for people who are on the receiving end of the hate. I think that comes with the territory. Not everybody's going to like you, and that's okay. If you are for everybody, you're for nobody. But what I think is really sad is that we're at a place where people so easily judge, where people so easily spew hate, where people so easily make comments on strangers' videos saying really awful, disgusting things And it happens constantly, daily. And I think that's really sad. I mean, look, I am not perfect. I certainly judge people. I have my own thoughts on plenty of subjects, but I am not going to be spewing hate in a comment section. I actually just left a voice note with one of my friends this morning. And I said, why can't people just save their judgment and their snarkiness and their shit talking for their phone calls and their group chats? Like, why are you putting it out in public? And I don't know. To me, it's just really sad. So anyway, I listened to Oprah's podcast with Kristen Cabot. And, you know, I certainly learned some things that I didn't know before because I hadn't read that article in the New York Post until today. They were pretty much one and the same, except one was a conversation with Oprah and one was a conversation with the journalist. But basically, what we did find out after was that Kristen and her husband were separated, living apart, and they were planning for their upcoming divorce. What I did not know until I watched the podcast was that Kristen and Andy had bonded because she had ended up telling him that she was separated. And he had said, oh my gosh, me too. And that led to them opening up quite a bit more about their personal lives. One of the things that I certainly paused and reflected a bit on is that she said that they worked very closely together. He was the CEO. She was the chief people officer. She said that their headcount was doubling in size year over year. So naturally, they worked very closely together as they were planning for headcount and resource management. It is a lot of work when you are dealing with hiring and salaries and benefits and all of the things. So that totally makes sense. I did pause for a moment and I thought, wait, they didn't really have a personal relationship. They only talked about work stuff. But then I thought back to my time in corporate and when I worked directly for the COO of a tech company that was growing and my group was on a trajectory to grow rather significantly. And yeah, there was, I would say 95% of the time, anytime we were talking about work, that's all we were talking about. Maybe there was a small nicety here and there, like, how was your weekend? Or, oh, you mentioned you were going to a basketball game last night. How was it? But there wasn't this ample time where we were just like sitting, becoming besties. So I do recognize their relationship and I can understand that it probably was very, very, very professional despite them talking multiple times throughout the workday. Now, of course, I mean, I think we've all been in that type of situation. When you tell somebody something that is challenging that's going on in your personal life, and then they respond with it, they're going through the exact same thing, you kind of feel the sense of kinship, right? You're like, oh gosh, okay, I'm not the only one. There's somebody that I can talk to. So that's how their relationship started to blossom. Now, she said that before that night, they had never even touched one another. She said that they did start spending more time together in the form of going out to lunch or, you know, going out with other colleagues to happy hours and whatnot. But they hadn't ever had any intimate moments until they went to that concert that night. She also said that she had not gone out in a really long time, and it was kind of a running joke with a lot of her friends that she was more so of a homebody, and if she wasn't working, she was spending time with her kids, or if she didn't have her kids, she was spending time by herself. So when her friends asked her, hey, do you want to go to the Coldplay concert? She really liked that band, so she said, yeah, I'll go. They offered her two tickets, so she decided to invite her Andy, her boss. Now, in retrospect, she said she knew that that probably wasn't the best idea. I mean, HR is the part of the company that's responsible for managing employee relations. So certainly if there was ever anything between a subordinate and a manager at the company and it got found out, she would be the one that would have to deal with and potentially reprimand those people. So it certainly put her in an awkward position. And in looking back, she was like, yeah, that was a mistake. I should not have done that. As she was walking into the stadium or as she was on her way to the stadium, she got a text message from her daughter saying, oh, Andrew. So that was a confusing piece. Turns out her husband that she was separated from, his name was Andrew. And then Andy was the CEO of Astronomer. She said, she received a text from her daughter saying, oh, it's cool that you and Andrew are both going to the Coldplay show tonight. She had a moment where she thought, oh, shit, I don't want to run into him. But then she was like, wait, like this stadium holds 55,000 people. I'm not going to run into him. So fast forward, they're at the show. They've had a few drinks. They're having fun. Then all of a sudden, they're on the kiss cam. So what I really want to talk to more now that I've set the stage, so you don't necessarily have to listen to Oprah's interview if you don't want to. But she talked a lot about what happened after the fact. And I think that that's what's really important. And I do think that her thoughts are in line with mine. She said that 90% of the hate that she received after the fact was from women. She said that women, it was only women that approached her in public and said cruel things to her. She said it was women that were driving by her house yelling things. She said she got 50 to 60 death threats. She got 500 to 600 phone calls a day, as well as emails. A local radio station apparently had decided to share her address with whoever was listening. So her home no longer became a safe space. If you look back over the last few months, since this happened, you know, she's been more of the one in the spotlight. Her ex-husband, who she was separated from at the time, he did come out and say, hey, we were separated. We've been separated. Like, so she's not, you know, cheating on me. We are ending this marriage. Now, Andy had told her that he was separated as well, but he never came out and made that statement. He did resign from the company a few days later. The company had actually asked Kristen to stay on, but she did not think that it was in the best interest, so she opted to leave as well. So as time continued to go on, she was still being picked apart, made into memes, made into jokes. And I just think it's so incredibly sad. I was reading a different article, and it was talking about how affairs and botched plastic surgery are the two things that people just go really, really hard on. I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Obviously, people have a huge interest in infidelity. People have a huge interest in understanding affairs. People love to judge affairs. And I wonder, why is that? And I'm not saying why is that from an ignorant space. I'm just genuinely like talking out loud. I'm asking for your thoughts. I'm asking for your feedback. Why is it that we judge people so harshly for that when in so many cases we know so little about the actual situation? You know, you guys have heard me say many times before that I think the reason there's such a curiosity as far as infidelity is concerned is because the majority of the time when we learn about it, we learn about it when people get caught. We learn about it when it becomes a scandal. We learn about it when we're like, oh, shit, like, look what's going on over there. We don't understand the whys behind how those people got there. And in this particular case, it's like such a perfect example. We saw a couple in an embrace. Chris Martin said, oh, maybe they're shy or maybe they're having an affair. We didn't know if that was true. Internet sleuths did what they do best and they found those people out. And obviously it was very easy for them to find out that, yes, both of these people are legally married. But are they actually still together? It just opens up so much for discussion. I tend to think that people judge so harshly on affairs because, yes, it is a horrible thing that you are doing. It is a horrible thing to cheat on your significant other. But I also think that because it's been labeled for centuries as like one of the worst things you could do, it also makes people feel better about their own lives. Like, oh, well, God, I was feeling bad because maybe the house is dirty and I haven't cleaned it in a few weeks. Maybe I'm behind on the laundry. Maybe I haven't had sex with my husband in 3 weeks because I've been tired or I feel fat or I feel not sexy right now. But hey, at least I'm not cheating on him. Maybe that's what people think. They play the comparison game. And so then we just like start, you know, talking and gossiping and judging and saying all these different things. You know, Oprah made a comment that she thought that so much of the hate towards Kristen was because she kind of looked like the girl next door. She became the face of the woman who took my husband. Kristen's response to that was that, you know, the husband stealer label bothered her the most because she was like, it's not like I handcuffed him and made him come out with me that night. It's not like I, you know, forced him to share things with me and get to a point where, you know, we had feelings for each other. And, you know, I've said that before in regards to my own situation. You know, it takes two to tango, which is such an old saying, but it's true, right? You can't do the tango by yourself. So it is tough when someone labels you so easily without knowing any of the details and that you are the one. You know, all of these terms got thrown around and thrown in her face when all of this happened. Homewrecker, slut, whore, husband stealer. It's like, whoa. Like, did he not play a role in this? Did he not do anything? Was he just an innocent bystander? Like, that kind of paints him as a man as kind of weak if we're just going to, you know, steamroll the woman for all of this. I also think it's incredibly sad that the majority of her hate came from other women. You know, we're in this time where people throw around the term like girls, girl, and, you know, women supporting women, and we're supposed to be there for one another and doing all of these things. And then 90% of the hate came from other women. I do think that it would be unfair of me and very un-Nikki of me and very un-Scarlet Edit of me to not stop and say, like, look, let's all collectively put ourselves in different shoes as women who are learning about this, right? There are obviously women who are single that could look at that and go, ooh, that's not a situation I would want to be in. There are women who are married who are like, ooh, that's tough. I wouldn't want to be in those shoes. There are women who have been cheated on who look at it and go, God damn it. Like, why? There are women who have cheated on their husbands who are like, whew, I can relate. I saw another video from a different creator and he said that he felt she was coming off as a victim. I don't think that she was coming off as a victim. I think that she ultimately decided that by staying silent, she was allowing the world to dictate who she was. And so she thought to herself, if I speak, then I'm dictating who I am. I'm saying, this is the story. This is what was going on. This is why I was there. This is how I got there. This is where I know I made a mistake. This is where I know I should have done something differently. And obviously, she's not going to change everybody's mind. You know, people are still going to roll their eyes. People are still going to have their opinions. But she wanted to share her story. And I think that she did it, and I think she did it well. But going back to looking at it from all angles, I think that that's something that's really important and something that a lot of people don't do, is they don't stop and put themselves in everybody's shoes as they're taking a look at the situation at hand. And taking a moment to say, like, huh, maybe I shouldn't judge so harshly. There's so much that I don't know. Or giving somebody a little bit of grace in knowing that, you know, sometimes we're human and humans get caught up. You know, it's so crazy to me being in this midlife phase of my life. We look at our lives as we're growing up and we think like, oh my gosh, like our parents, they're so old and they have all this experience. And then we hit these different milestone birthdays, right? We turn 21 and then we turn 25 and then we're 30, then 40. And then you get to a point where you're like, holy shit, like I'm at midlife. Am I supposed to know better? Am I supposed to be something different? And all I've learned, especially over the last 18 years, is that I'm still the same person. I just keep evolving. But there's a part of me that's still 17. There's a part of me that still is 23. There's a part of me that still is 30. You don't hit this magical age where all of a sudden you have everything figured out and you're never going to make a mistake again. We're constantly evolving as human beings, and we're going to trip and we're going to fall sometimes. So my thing at this point, after seeing this and after hearing what she went through, death threats, like, that's extreme. That's so extreme. I think it's really sad. I think as women, especially, we need to do better. We do need to genuinely support each other. We need to recognize that we are all different. We are not in competition with one another. One of my favorite mindsets these days is that, like, I am one of one. There is nobody else who is me. So anybody can come along and do similar things, and that doesn't matter because they're not me and they're not doing it the same way I'm doing it. Just like I'm not them and I'm not doing things the way they're doing it. So why don't we support each other? Why don't we stand up for each other? Why don't we give each other some grace when one of us falls? And instead of judging and instead of saying, like, all these horrible things, instead of calling a woman a homewrecker, a slut, a husband stealer, why don't we say, like, hey, like, maybe we should hear the whole story first. Maybe we should understand what's really going on before we're so quick to judge. I mean, I get it though. We're set up for that right now. Like, if you look at everything, we are in an era of attention. What can grab our attention the quickest and keep it? And we see these videos, and it happens time and time again. It doesn't matter what the subject is. We see a video, everybody judges, and then a few days later, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Here's some more information. Here's something else. Here's some more context. Here's the long form video. And maybe you didn't hear the whole clip. Maybe what that person said when it's clipped, it sounds pretty shitty. But actually, when you hear the whole thing, it's pretty great. I think we're set up for failure. But I think that that's all the more reason to try. It's all the more reason for us to say, you know what? I'm going to wait before I pass judgment. I'm going to wait before I really say something that I can't take back, because I'm going to end it on this. One of the things that I love the most about being a woman is when you're in the bathroom and you need a tampon, and you will ask any woman in that bathroom, hey, do you have a tampon? And if they do, they're like, girl, I got you. How many times have you given a tampon to a stranger in the bathroom? It's because this is something that we deal with every single month. And we all know, every single woman knows the feeling of, oh shit, I just started my period and I don't have a tampon. That type of girlhood, that type of collective, I got you, we need to bring that into more spaces. So I'm going to make a promise to work on that more. And I'd love it if you made that promise with me. As always, thank you for listening. I absolutely appreciate every single one of you. The Scarlet Edit is freaking awesome, and I love it so much. So thank you for being here. We'll see you next week.